All right, let's turn this morning to a couple of places and various points here. You're going to be asked to turn to two or three places at once for part of the message here this morning. But we're going to start 1 John chapter 2, 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, and then 2 Kings 6 as well. 1 John 2, we'll read there first, 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 6. First John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. You should be able to say amen to that, right? Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now let's turn over to 2 Kings for just a minute here. Keep your finger in 1 John. We'll be back there in a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now this is Elisha, and I'm not going to read the whole passage for you. But he is there, and of course the battle with the Syrians and so on. And the young man, his body servant, goes out. And, well, let me just begin by reading here in verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. It's the Syrians. And his master said unto him, Alas, my master... His servant said rather unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I wanted to point out to you back in verse 16, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let's pray. Father, come here this morning. Appreciate a good crowd and glad these folks have come out. You know, it's been a busy week, a lot of things going on in everybody's minds. There are holidays and family gatherings and all that still for us. And we just pray that you'll remember, Father, we need strength here right now. We live in confusing times. We are aware that there's a lot of propaganda in this world. We're aware that we are much of the object of that propaganda. We know that that the world... And the devil manages to manipulate and to exploit people all the time with lies and half-truths. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be able to discern the whole truth. And we pray this morning might be a help to us. If anybody here has never received Christ, I pray that you'd help them to see they need Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my theme this morning, I'll tell you up front, may be by some considered negative, maybe by others even divisive. I want you to know that I'm not trying to be contentious about anything or any such thing, and hopefully it'll be a help and an exhortation to you. In 1 John chapter 2, John cuts right down to the quick with things. He says, these are the last times. You've heard that Antichrist will come. And the fact is that many Antichrists are already around. Like I said, that most of us could say amen to that. He said, and by those antichrists we know that it is the last time. But then he says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this is the same John that wrote, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the same John that wrote, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the same John that said that Jesus Christ came to be a propitiation for our sins and also for the sins of the whole world. And so John has been expansive and he's been inclusive with things as far as the gospel offering, the offering of Jesus Christ to the world and him being made the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. But the fact of the matter is, in this passage, John shows here that there is a very sharp and a definitive edge to Christianity. Because he says here in verse 19, they went out from us, but they weren't with us. And they weren't of us. If they had been of us, they would have stuck with us. And so on and so forth. In fact, what John's saying is, there is an us, and there is a them. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, you don't have to go back there, but I just wanted to point out to you there's many other places we could have gone to. It was clearly stated there. Elijah says to the young man, he said, there's more with us than there are with them. And all that shows is that there is an us and that there is a them. Now I want you to contemplate that for a little while here this morning because that's the title of the message. There is an us and there is a them. This is a great controversial battleground in the world. I want you to know up front that I believe I mentioned in the prayer that we are, all men really, are the objects of a great deal of manipulation and exploitation, rhetoric, propaganda that comes from the world and the devil. And this matter of us versus them is a big controversial battlefield in this world. Just for a minute, we'll talk about the world, then we'll talk about Christianity. You know, the old school, in times past, if you stop and think about it, you know, when we declared our independence from Great Britain, the war was set and settled. And you know what? During the Revolutionary War, you know what? There was an us, and then there was a them. Right? World War I comes along, we get involved, there was a us, and there was a them. In World War II, there was us, and then there were Germans. And then there were us, and then there were Japanese. Right? When we moved on up into a time frame, it became us versus the commies. There were us, and there were North Koreans. There was an us, and then there were the Russians and the other communists and so on. And, you know, those things seem kind of plain in history. You look back on it, even when we had a civil war amongst ourselves, and even in these very states, most people got wound up divided off where, there again, there was an us and a them. And that's the way with a lot of things. You know that that's the way of the world. You know that as far as division is concerned, war divides, politics divides, sometimes race divides, religion has certainly divided through the years, and depending on whose side's on who, there's an us and there's a them. Even economics, again, even politics. These days, sexuality has become a major us versus them thing. Now, you know, one of the things that I wanted to point out to you, again, is that as far as the world's concerned, this is a major matter of manipulating and exploiting. What I mean by that is on one hand, what the world tries to propagate towards us is that there is no longer an us versus them. No, we're united nations. I mean, we have a one world government coming on and a one world economy coming on, and we're to be bipartisan, we are to be tolerant, we are to have a great deal of, in fact, diversity is our strength, I think was the saying there for a while on TV and radio, was it not? And, you know, so on one hand, you know, they're pushing this, the idea that there is not an us versus them. The Muslim invasion can continue. They're part of us. The alien invasion from foreign countries can continue without too much concern about whether they really belong here or not. After all, there's it's all an us. There's not any longer an us versus them. And those homosexuals, you know, they're just like me and you. There's not an us and there's not a them. It's all us. Now, that sounds pretty good, but I want you to understand, I want you to just take note, this happens all the time. There is also the other side of that thing, and the world is a hypocrite. The world of men, the men in the world are hypocrites. And that, in that, they will use both sides of the butter knife. On one hand, there's not an us versus them, but you know what? When it comes to environmentalism, there is an us versus them. I mean, if you're not with the environmentalists, you are certainly a them. If you are not on the pro-homosexual agenda, there certainly is an us versus them, is there not? If you didn't jump aboard the health care reform bandwagon, where we're just going to make everybody, you know, socialized medicine and everything, you understand that that is a very definitive, divisive thing. They're not even trying to draw everybody together. If you're not with us, you're with them. Right? We've seen that happen in politics of recent. We find it, you know, as politically speaking, morally speaking, right wing and left wing. I got news for you. We Bible-believing Christians are not them. They don't want us among them in many regards. So my whole point in that is that the bottom line is that there's an attempt constantly to brainwash and propagandize you and me, and that this whole us versus them thing, whether it be unity or whatever, is an issue of exploitation and manipulation philosophically with the world. Now, having said that, I'm not talking about the world here this morning. I'll tell you this. You know, John sounds out the battle cry here, and he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." I want you to know that one of the issues in Christianity today is that Christianity has tended to lose its edge. You know, John had an edge here. He said, "Look, they're not of us, they never were of us." And so there was a divide there. And I want you to know that that's something quite necessary in measure to Christianity, and it's something that has been much lost. Now I want you to understand, let me make sure that you understand, this is not about just our church, okay? It's not just about our little group and our little clique and just who agrees with absolutely everything with us and that sort of thing. It's really not, my intention this morning is not that it's denominational or such. I understand that all issues are not necessary issues. So having said that, I'll go on. But you do understand that on the one hand, the Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely." That's a whosoever. That is inclusive. That is expansive, right? God so loved the world. But Jesus Christ came to be a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. You understand that. When it comes to liberty, when it comes to grace, when it comes to salvation being a free gift, when it comes to the simplicity of the gift and all those things, it is expansive and it is inclusive. But there is another side, is there not? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, Matthew 7 still says that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, and straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to righteousness, and few there be that find it. The Bible says in John chapter 7 that there was a division among the people because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, he said, "I didn't come to bring peace, I came to send a sword, and I came to set at variance one against another." You see, while Jesus Christ offers everything, offers it all to anybody, the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is the dividing line. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. There's an us, and then there's a them. Right? Now, the tendency today is to make everything a kind of a big, enclosed us. And that's just not true. It's just not true. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Right? There's an us, and there's a them. Now, folks, the point to all this is that Christianity is not a zoo. It's not an exhibit of zoo animals. Christianity is a body. Christianity is a body of people that have come along one narrow way, through one door, one Lord, one Savior, one faith, and one book, and have come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that didn't cross that narrow bridge are on the other side of the chasm. And they're among the lost. And there's a divide there. Right? I wanted to talk to you about that for a little while this morning. You know, there is an us. and there is a them. I'm not trying to be contentious. I'm not trying to be mean. But ladies and gentlemen, mainline Christianity is giving away their birthright. They're not even selling it. They're giving it away. And if you're not careful, I mean, we have to make sure that we keep the vigil over the mysteries of God. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We have to make sure that we are good stewards of the truth. There is an us, and there is a them. Sometimes the them are other religions, other nations, other cultures, and so on. The them we know are unbelievers, including Oprah, by the way. Hallelujah. That's just to stick it to you just a little bit, because people are real funny with stuff. They think people are Christians that aren't. And sometimes I want to say that sometimes them, unfortunately, also involves other Christians. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I need you to turn, believe it or not, to three separate places here for just a second, because I don't want you to think that I'm just talking off the top of my hat. Look in 2 Corinthians 1. Now I just want to read you three verses out of these three places. 2 Corinthians 1, Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and Numbers 14. We'll start in Numbers 14. We'll go backwards to forwards. Numbers chapter 14 is the passage where the spies have gone into Canaan land and returned. And as you know, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And Joshua and Caleb come back and they want to go into the land. And this is what they said. Numbers 14:9. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Did you see that? The Lord is with us. Now look in Psalm 46. Psalm 46:7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, I understand that in that passage that the writer is talking about God being with Israel, God being with Jacob. Understand that. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now, he that establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. That is, you are established in Christ. All that was a long way of saying there is an us and there is a them. First of all, I want to point out to you this morning that with us is God. God is with us. You're familiar with the passage, of course, where Emmanuel, God with us, I realize that has to do with the man coming, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ coming and literally walking with men and women. But you know, I want you to understand that when it comes down to Christianity versus Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or Confucianism or any other of the isms, I want you to understand, and I think it's about time, that somebody not be apologetic in saying that with us is God. God is with us. We are Christians. We are God's people. I know that Israel is God's people in quite another way, but we have been born again, placed into the body of Jesus Christ. God is with us. With us is God. With us is God. You know, the Scripture says that we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against various things, against the wiles of the devil. And you know something, folks? It's harder to stand sometimes than you think. It sure sounds simple to just stand, doesn't it? But you know, when you start trying to stand for something, you know, there are some things that happen. The pressure mounts. People start talking. Criticism flies around. Accusations fly around. Innuendos and fabrications and threats. Newspapers say stuff, misrepresentations. Family members grow to dislike what you stand for and what you're trying to do. Sometimes you find that majority opinion is against you. And so, year after year after year, what people tend to do, and Christianity as a whole tends to do, is you tend to flinch. And you tend to kind of give way and cave in here or there, and basically you tend to retreat. It's kind of funny to read war material and so on. I remember I read a bunch of Civil War material, and what one general calls a retreat, usually the commanding general of the battalion or regiment or whatever that retreated, he usually calls it a withdrawal. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't a retreat, that was a withdrawal. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is that, you know, I was thinking about this. I don't know what those soldiers are outside of Buckingham Palace, you know, the guys with the furry hats. You know, those guys are forced to stand there, and, you know, they are trained to stand there at perfect frozen attention no matter what a tourist may do to them. Have you ever seen that? You ever thought how hard that might be for folks taking your picture and pulling on your pant leg and poking in the belly and so on and so forth? That you just stand there at frozen attention, right? I just want you to know, folks, that Christianity has generally tended to yield away its exclusivity, its monoculturalism. You see, what are you getting at? I'll tell you what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact that, folks, from the Scriptures, God is with us. And I want you to understand that what Christianity has done in general and what you will tend to do, you know, Christianity is now saying, much of Christianity, what's called Christianity, is saying that Allah is the same as God. He is not. He is not the same as God. They are tending now to say that the small g gods of the heathen are basically representations of the God that is. That there are many ways to God. That all ways and gods and religions and so on lead to God. That we are all God's children. Mormonism has become more and more acceptable in society. Jehovah's Witnesses have become more and more acceptable in society. Long acceptable in society is Roman Catholicism. And I love Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics need to be saved, but they have the wrong religion. You understand? Ladies and gentlemen, God did not inspire Roman Catholicism. God is with His children. God is with the body of Christ. God is with that body that's been born again singularly and then are one body. Christians, the body of Christ, the church, and if you're not born again, you're not in that body. There's an us and there's a them. We've come to the day that maybe it needs to be said more often. Everybody that is an American is no longer an us. Fact, and it's been this way a long time, but it's time folks realize it. Everybody that calls themselves a Christian is not an us. There is an us. And there is a them. And you need to understand that just because God calls somebody themselves a Christian doesn't make them one. All right? Many, by the way, is a Baptist. That's not an us. Right? Now look, folks. Jesus Christ lives in me. And if you're saved, He lives in us. And I in Him and He in me, and I will always be with Him. And if you're saved, you'll always be with Him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That much is true. But to do that, you have to be in us. God is with us, but there's a them. Now what are you? Are you an us or a them? I want you to point out something else to you. Look in Hosea, book of Hosea, but go ahead and grab Hebrews 12 as well. Hebrews chapter 12. And then Hosea Hosea 12. There's an us, and there is a them. John acknowledged it. Elisha acknowledge it. The Lord Jesus Christ acknowledge it. Notice Hosea chapter 12. Notice verse 2. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. Now look, who is Jacob's brother, Esau? He, Jacob, took his brother Esau by the heel in the womb. You remember that story in Genesis. And by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he, Jacob, had power over the angel and prevailed. He, Jacob, wept and made supplication unto him, God. Right? He found him in Bethel, and there he, God, spake with us. You see that? God spake with us. He spake with us, not with them. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You see that? God speaks to us. He doesn't speak to them. There is an us, there is a them. Now, I need to acknowledge a couple of things here. Look, folks, before the Bible was finished, I can find in the Scriptures where God did speak to the heathen in visions and dreams. I can find in the Bible before the Bible was finished that God spake to the prophets by visions and dreams. Correct? I think you'll agree now that God speaks to us by the Bible and preaching. Right? Hopefully not to have to get into too much detail on all that and go through all that, but do you understand that there is an us and there is a them? Do you indeed understand that God did not speak to Muhammad? It wasn't Gabriel that spoke to Muhammad. Do you understand? It wasn't the God of Jacob that spoke to Muhammad. There's an us and there's a them. To us, God is with us. With us, God speaks. You do understand that God did not speak to Buddha. You do understand that God doesn't speak to Buddhists. You do understand that God doesn't speak to Confucianists. You do understand that God doesn't speak to Oprah. I got Oprah on the mind a little bit here today because I've gotten things the last two or three days about a bunch of nonsense. You understand she is something of a high priestess for modern New Age nonsense, don't you? Where basically, you know what you call God, somebody else calls something else. They might call it the light or love or whatever. But basically, we all get to the same place, and when we all get there, we'll find that all the goop is God. I'm telling you, folks, that is what she's teaching. That is what she's preaching. She has a hold of more women's hearts in this country than is right. It's a bunch of nonsense. You understand, God does not speak to Oprah. You do understand that God... Whoa, I'm going to get some people mad now. You do understand that God has never, ever spoken by a pope ex cathedra. You do understand. I can't think of many times that a pope spake by the Word of God, by the Bible. But you understand that every time a pope spoke, has spoken, that was ex cathedra out of the chair, that was not from the Bible, you understand that God did not speak through him or to him. Don't you? You do understand that God revealed nothing to Joseph Smith. Nothing to Brigham Young, and nothing to Claire Prophet. Woman, she just died out in Utah or whatever. Some of you don't even know who that was. Listen, folks, the Bible says that if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. That means that any time that Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen or Oprah said something that wasn't in here, you do understand that it wasn't God that spoke, right? Because, folks, there is an us, and there is a them. You know how the difference between us-ins and them-ins? I met a lady, and I went to preach for a guy one time way, way back in the very shadow of Hiles Anderson down there. And he was from Tennessee. And they cracked me up because, I mean, I was expecting to go to, you know, outside of Chicago and find, you know, a bunch of Yankees. But it was this little enclave of Tennessee, Kentucky people. And all weekend long, she was feeding us and everything. This guy's wife was talking about us-ins and you-ins. I kind of like that. But you know, she's always talking about us-ins and you-ins. You do understand that when it comes to God being with us, you do understand that when it comes to God, who God speaks to, there is an us and there is a them. God speaks to us. And He does not speak to them. Now, I know there's a little bit of a balance there because, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and answer the door, I'll go in and eat with him and he with me, right? I'll speak with him. I understand that salvation-wise, that Jesus Christ speaks to everyone trying to get in the door. I understand that. And if you let him in the door, then he'll show you more things. Deeper things, right? The deeper things of God. That's true. But you understand that if you ignore the voice, you're still of them. And God doesn't speak beyond the offer of salvation. Listen, folks, the Jews, Israel, are God's people. They're God's chosen, promised people, covenant people from the Old Testament. Do you understand that God has not spoken to those Jews for 2,000 years. Beyond the offer of Jesus Christ, whom they rejected, said His blood be on us and on our children, you do understand that outside of a Jew coming to Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ as His Savior, you do understand that God has not spoken to His people, the Jews, for 2,000 years. There's an us. And there's a them. Now, I don't mean this next question to be contentious. I'm not trying to be overtly aggressive or get in your face or berate you or anything, but I'm going to ask you straightforward. How brainwashed are you? Maybe I should ask you, who brainwashed you? Because we all are brainwashed. We all need to be. If you're in church this morning, I'll be perfectly open with you. I'm trying to brainwash you. Your brains are dirty. And I'm trying to wash your brains. We have the water of the Word right here, and that's what you're being washed in. Now, I got news for you. You say, well, I don't like being brainwashed. I'm going to a movie. I don't like being brainwashed. I'm going to go home and watch the news. You jump from the chlorinated pool into the sewer. And that's the point is, okay, how brainwashed are you? Maybe who brainwashed you? Because there's an us and there's a them. And I tell you what you want to wash your brain in the Word of God. God speaks to us. You have opinions. With whom do those opinions align? When you're asked, would your opinions about everything from social matters to the economy to the environment, to your toenails, do they align more with what the Word of God says or with what the world says? With us, He spake. With us. I tell you what, you better be careful of them. There's an us and there's a them. You better be careful of them. Now, if you want to go and you can go to the world and you can learn math. Those are facts. You can go to the world, and in some respects, you can learn some history if they don't mess with the facts. But I tell you this right now, there's not much that you better watch them. Because somebody else is speaking to them. God's not speaking to them. You better be careful what you take as far as advice and counsel from them. Because they're not of us. I'd like for them to get saved and come in amongst us. But right now they're not of us. And God spake with us. There's something else I wanted you to see. Look in 2 John. 2 John chapter 4. Ha ha ha. Well, you're attentive this morning. 2 John. See, there's only one chapter. 2 John 1. 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Three times in that passage, the truth. You know what, folks? With us is God. Not going to apologize for it. With us, He spake. And still does. And I'm not apologizing for it. With us is the truth. With us is truth. You know, it's real sad these days what the world thinks the church is. What the world thinks the church is this corrupt, weak, defunct body of people who believe a bunch of fables and myths and don't have much power and just kind of generally worm along the ground. That's what the world thinks of as the church. But you know, that's not what the church is. You realize that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you know what it says? It says that the church of the living God, the body of Christ, is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church, the body of Christ, I'm not saying every church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Folks, with us is the truth. Did you know that the truth does not abide at university? Universities were never the biblical repository for the truth. There may be some truth that crept in. I suppose they can teach you calculus or arithmetic or whatever, or trigonometry or maybe physics or whatever. But you know, the truth is not the university is not the repository of the truth. I got news for you. Research science is not the repository of the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I can't help it that the church has failed in her duty. Seminaries are not the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is. There is no monastery in the Andes where a guru sits that you can go and get all the truth. There is not, you know that bald metaphysical guy on PBS? He's not where you go to get the truth.
Oh yeah, PBS is the pillar and ground of the truth.
I got news for you, Oprah is not where you go to get truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Why? Because it's the body of Christ. Why is that the case? Well, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. They're the ones who have the word of God. Secondly, I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus Christ. They have Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the Spirit of truth will come and indwell you. Right? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and on top of it, God is the God of truth. Folks, there is an us, and there is a them. With us is God. With us He spake. With us is the truth. Folks, the church and the Bible have never withheld one necessary thing from mankind.
You say, well, I read in history where the church persecuted Galileo because he thought that the world was round.
Yeah, that's not the church. That's a cult. Anybody that had read the Bible would have known that the world was round.
Yeah, well, the church, they thought that Columbus was going to sail off the edge.
Anybody that had read the Bible would have known the earth was round. Anybody that said that it was not round was not of the truth. You know, folks, God's litmus test, there's a God's litmus test for your Christian mindset is worth thinking about. People talk about your worldview. And some of it is just nonsense. But where it boils down for good old, you know, blue-collar folks is that less and less do people believe, do Christians believe, that they are right and that they have the truth. And more do they believe that they should tap into other resources in order to get to the truth. And I just want you to know that with you being saved, having an indwelling Christ, the God of truth in heaven, the Word of truth in your lap, I got news for you. You are thoroughly equipped and thoroughly equipped to know everything that you need to know. Fine, go get a shot of penicillin if you need it or whatever, but I'm telling you, the God never withheld any knowledge from you that you needed. Like I said, there is an us and there is a them. And when it comes to the truth, I got news for you. The Mayans didn't know anything.
Oh, the Mayan calendar says 2012. I don't care.
You go ahead. Chase that rabbit for 3 more years. If they're right, they lucked out. If they're right, a devil told them. It's true, folks. Folks run around through all kinds of things. Listen, Nostradamus, anything he ever got right, you know who told him that? The devil. There's an us, and there's a them. People talk about the Talmud. Now, I'm not talking about the Torah. The Torah is the first 5 books of the Old Testament, right? But the Jewish Talmud. And folks are more, the Jews are more likely to quote the Talmud than they are the Torah. I got news for you. The Talmud is not the truth. Folks that read the Talmud, they're a them. God is with us. You've received the truth. God spake to you. God is with you. Physically. I'm not saying you can't get out of the will of God. I'm not saying you can't mess up and that God won't bless what you're doing. But I'm telling you, folks, God is with you. He's with us. The truth is with us. He spake with us. He didn't speak with Oprah. He didn't speak with the Pentecostal TV evangelists. He didn't speak with the parachurch seminar people. He gave you a Bible as a Bible-believing Christian. Stick with it. You know, there's something else, a few other things, actually. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of you that have obtained like faith, it's precious faith, like faith with us. With us is faith. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Who are the saints? Well, it's us. You say, well, I just think that Muhammad had something to add. No, he didn't. He didn't know what he was talking about. Talking by a devil. Talking out of his own mouth, out of his own spirit. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, here's this. With us is faith. With us is the faith. The faith. You know, here's the scriptures. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? Okay, faith cometh by hearing. How many faiths are there? Well, from God's perspective, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One faith that matters. After all, the Bible does say that there's Lord's many and God's many. So there's only one Lord that matters. There's only one faith that matters. In the end, there's only one baptism that matters, the one that saved you. Right? And I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm talking about spiritual baptism. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, God's not saying there's only one faith in the world, because there are multiple faiths in the world. But faith cometh by hearing. So you know what? What you better be careful of is that you will believe eventually whomever you listen to long enough. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The right kind of faith comes by hearing. But you know, you can hear all kinds of stuff, can't you? There's a right kind of hearing too. Did you know you can hear wrong? Did you know you can hear the wrong people? Do you know if you hang out with evolutionists all the time, do you know that eventually if you're not careful, your opinion will veer towards evolution? If you hang around homosexuals all the time, guess what? You're going to go become more tolerant of their views of why they are the way they are. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The one faith that matters is faith in Jesus Christ. The faith once delivered unto the saints. And that faith cometh by hearing. The right kind of hearing comes by the Word of God. Folks, with us is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence, it says. There is an us, and there is a them. Our faith is unpopular, is it not? I mean, it doesn't take very long to find somebody that opposes our faith. You say, well, why is our faith so unpopular? I'll give you three quick reasons. I don't want to get into preaching it too long. There are three quick reasons. First of all, your faith is based around a negative truth about you. Now, folks, that is not the faith that Oprah preaches. Oprah's faith that she preaches is that you are fine just the way you are. And you're on a journey, and you're going to the light or toward the feathers or toward the candle or towards the doorknob or towards the love or towards the warmth. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. All right? And it's all just fine. If you're queer, if you're an adulterer, it's fine. As long as you feel good about yourself, it's good. Look, I told you I wasn't just trying to be contentious, but look, folks, there's some stuff that needs to be mocked and scorned because it is a lie, it is ridiculous, it is from hell, and it's sending people to hell. Now, folks, one of the reasons that your faith is unpopular is because it's based around negative truth about you. We don't like to hear negative stuff about us left to ourselves, for the most part. The other reason that it is popular is because the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so, folks, go that way, and you need to understand the devil is just not particular at all. We talked earlier, Jesus Christ, there is one way. It is narrow. It is straight. You've got to come His way. There are not three or four bridges across the chasm. There's only one very narrow bridge, and you have to enter one at a time. That's not a popular view. The devil doesn't care how you come his way. He doesn't give a rip. I mean, if you want to be a monk that flagellates yourself and starves yourself half to death and lives naked in a cave, he's happy with that, but you don't have to go that way. You can live like an Epicurean. You can just party. You can be a party animal. You can fornicate. You can be no better than a dog or cat. And everything in between. The devil doesn't care how you go, just as long as you don't go Jesus Christ's way. Anybody that's finding his own way is finding the devil's way. That's the point. With us is not only faith, it's the faith. It's the faith. A couple other things real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, it's good news to me that It's not a negative thing to me when I learn that with us is God. With us He spake. With us is the truth. With us is faith. The faith. And you know what? With us is rest. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Now, you know, the Lord starts out with, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That's rest from your labors. That's rest from your sins. That's salvation, right? But that's not where our rest starts. That's not where our rest ends. He said right here that those of you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angel. That's the second coming of Christ. That's Christ coming back in vengeance, taking vengeance on this world for their sins. You know what your part in is in that? Resting with the saints. Folks, that is a good deal. That's a good deal. You know what separates me and you from Islam? They have no rest. They teach their kids to go blow themselves up along with other people. That's not a restful spirit. Hindus don't find any rest, people. They let rats overtake their temples because they think the rats might be grandma. Where's the rest in that? I was told that when I came to Jesus Christ, that I could give Him my sins and He would give me rest. Where is rest in worrying about the fact that I might come back in the next life a toadstool? Where's the rest in that? Bible says, you know what the Bible says? It says the way of transgressors is hard. But that's not the way of Christ. With us is rest. There's battles down here, and there's troubles. But with us is rest. Some of you folks come from Roman Catholic families. Tell me, are the Roman Catholic families that you, are they at rest eternally in salvation? They may be falsely comforted. They may be deceived. But are they at rest? They have no rest. They have no rest. You know, I wanted to recall you. I won't make you go back there. But you remember back in 2 Kings chapter 6, this is one of the passages that we read. And Elijah says to the young man who right now is blind, he said, there's more that be with us than be with them. See, there's an us and there's a them. I just want you to know that with us is more. Not only is with us God, with us is truth, with us He spake. With us is faith. With us is rest. But with us is more. Now, Jesus Christ, from all apparent evidence, external evidence, physical evidence, died on a cross alone. All alone. But He wasn't alone. Wow, He said that I could ask and my Father would give me 10 legions of angels. Right? You know, folks, with us is more. Folks in this world don't have God. They don't have the truth. They don't have faith. They don't have rest. But you know what? They also don't have fellowship. They don't have fellowship with God. They don't have grace. They don't have eternal life. They don't have eternal joy. They don't have any power. They don't have any hope. They don't have any peace. They don't have any satisfaction. That's why they live like they live. They don't have any assurance. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. They don't know. They have no knowledge. They have no assurance. Do you know all the things that you have that they don't have? You know what you have? You have more. With us is more. In fact, with us, we have it all. We really do. You'd never tell it by the way some of us live, and as far as the amount of money in our checkbooks, by the kind of cars that we drive, and so on. But you own everything that God owns. I don't mean that you get to use it here. I do mean that one day you will inherit it there. You're going to inherit as sons of God. You have more. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, there's an us and there's a them. We say this not to be contrary and not to be controversial. We say it, Lord, because some of your people are busy giving it away as quickly as they can. Father, we have been given a distinct identity as Christians when we receive Christ. We've been given treasures. We've been given responsibilities. And our responsibilities and our treasures, the things that are precious to us, are not like anything that this world has. There is a divide. There is a division. There is a chasm, Lord. There is an us and there is a them. We ought not be ever condescending, Lord, and we try not to be. We also pray that you'd help us to be vigilant over what is ours and over what you've given us. We pray here that if there's anybody here that's never received Christ as their Savior, they might understand that there's a bitter and a terrible divide down through the midst of men, families, nations. And that divide is the cross. There are folks that are Christians, and there are folks that are not. There are folks that are going to heaven, there are folks that are not. We pray you'd help anybody here that's never received Christ to take care of business today. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a minute. We're not going to tarry too long here at this point. If you need to come, you feel free to come. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, why don't you come? If you have begun to crumple just a little bit with respect to what is yours, your identity, there's an us and there's a them. You may want to come to apologize to the Lord. You owe the Lord an apology. He gave you a distinct identity in the family of God as a child of God, a son of God. If you've been like Esau and started handing back your birthright a little bit to the world and a little bit like Peter at the fire, no, I'm not with them. Because there's an us and there's a them. While we seek not to be condescending or proud, we also can't give back what God's given us. It's to be protected. You are steward of the mysteries of God. You've been put in trust of the gospel, of the truth. We're not going to rush anybody at the altar at all, but those of you that are still sitting down, look this way. Let's turn to number 241 and stand. If you're at the altar, feel free to continue. 241. Thank you. everybody being here this morning. We'll be back tonight at 6. Keep praying for visitors and all folks that are coming and going. Hope you have a good afternoon. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, now we are privileged people. We lose track of it, Father, because we live it. And furthermore, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not like, Lord, we have a room to walk into where we're able to just count up all our riches. We see those riches, Father, by faith, and we have to appreciate them through the eyes of faith. I pray, Lord, that you'll keep these things real to us, though. And among the parts of it, Father, we have to remember that we are a different cut. We are of a different family. That we are of a different make. And we're certainly new creatures in Christ. And I pray that you'd help us to keep these things distinct. There isn't us. There is a them. We would like very much for them to join us in Jesus Christ. In the meantime, Father, it's a battle and it's a fight. I pray you'd help us to be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning.